1414.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know, as usual, we always head to Washington, D.C. to see what's stirring up in Foggy Bottom. A lot happening since everybody came back after Labor Day. And joining us right off the bat is Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News. Hey, Victoria.
Hey.
So I said this before, but are you on your second pair of shoes right now because you just burned them up going back and forth between all these different places in D.C. with what's happening?
It's craziness. It's craziness. You need one of those uni bicycle things that people have.
You need a Segway. Talk Radio News needs its own Segway.
Yes.
I'm going to lobby for that.
Yes. Well, they ride them past the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue all the time, and they always go in packs.
Yeah, there you go. I think it's good. I'm going to make sure you guys get one.
Thank
Let's
you.
Talk about Jay Carney. He probably needs a Segway. He's probably burning up rubber between all the areas that he's going back and forth with, too, as well, from the White House on down, obviously his main station. So the White House spokesperson slapped back at John Boehner, who slammed Obama's jobs plan as among a couple of things. Poor substitute, he said, for growth, right?
Yes, he did. He was pretty harsh on the American Jobs Act today in his speech at the Economic Club of Washington, which actually is a pretty influential place to give a speech because they are economists who are there. But what the statement from the press secretary tonight says is, and it's brief, so I'll read it until it gets boring. Any plan to grow the economy and create jobs should be measured by whether it puts money in the pockets of middle-class families, puts teachers, police officers, firefighters, and construction workers back to work, and invests in our small businesses so they can grow and hire. The president's plan meets that test. The American Jobs Act includes the kinds of proposals that have been supported in a bipartisan way in the past. It's fully paid for, and prominent independent economists say it could create between 1.5 and 2 million jobs. And he goes on to say that it rebuilds the economy the American way, based on balance, fairness, and ensuring there's the same set of rules from everyone from Wall Street to Main Street.
Ooh. I don't think we've heard the last of that back and forth either, by the way, on that.
No, not at all. But, of course, the other back and forth that we're hearing is between Democrats who can't agree among themselves whether to support the president's Jobs Act.
I don't think he expected that, do you?
No, I don't think he did, but he probably should have done because the Democrats seem to be unable to be unified.
Yeah, and therein lies the problem in Washington these days on all sides of politics. How about this deal with FEMA? Senator Landrieu from Louisiana was going nuts on the whole idea of where's this funding? We need to do it now. We need to act now. And the Senate did act, right?
Senate did act today. A proposal from Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to add $6.9 billion in funding to FEMA, adding it to a bill extending import sanctions against Burma. And it passed in a 62-37 vote, so that's final passage. Now, the thing is that this bill stands in contrast to a plan put forward by House Republicans, which would provide for another $1 billion in the current fiscal year and then another $2.65 billion in the next fiscal year for FEMA. So that's not good in terms of getting things done. And House Democrats were signaling disagreement with that because they want more funding and also because they disagree with the Republican offset.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to sort out their differences, the two chambers now, on exactly how to boost FEMA funding. So even FEMA funding was not able to be done in a bipartisan, unified manner.
Yeah, so we slide from that where they couldn't do that, even the FEMA stuff, that's emergency funds, disaster relief, to the FAA and highway funding. What happened there?
Well, they did approve legislation today in the Senate that extends taxes funding the FAA through January and extends taxes funding federal highway spending through March. Now, it passed the House with ease Tuesday, and it got Senate approval in a 92-6 vote. Well, that sounds easy. Well, it wasn't, because there was a filibuster by Senator Tom Coburn, which threatened to prevent the Senate from getting the measure done before the deadline. And they estimate, at least Democrats do, that up to 80,000 workers could have been left without work if the FAA funding hadn't been renewed in time. But they managed to strike a deal saying, okay, Coburn and Senator Rand Paul can offer amendments on a separate disaster relief bill. Paul can offer two amendments to the FAA highway bill, and they can move forward. And they knew that those were going to fail.
Wow. Wow. And then the last one, of course, is we were talking about Boehner. That's how we started things off. Now Obama's going to go and visit a bridge in Ohio that needs urgent repair right there in Boehner's wheelhouse in his home state, right?
The Brent Spence Bridge he'll be going to on September the 22nd to highlight the, quote, urgent need for infrastructure improvements. It's very near to Boehner's district. And apparently, the president hasn't spoken to the speaker since he gave his speech introducing the bill. White House press secretary didn't know today whether Boehner's been notified, but apparently, Boehner is saying that, you know, he's all in favor of repairs being made to this bridge. Mm. Whether he's in favor of them being made in this way or not, I don't know, but he's all in favor of repairs being made to this bridge.
Yeah. Photo op for the other side.
Yeah.
Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. All right, we continue down the road of politics, and let's talk about President Obama. You know, the common denominator seems to be beer. Remember the whole blow-up with the Harvard professor and the cops and all of that? Seems like only yesterday, however, that was almost light years ago. Obama sat down and had a beer with a Marine. I say bravo to this move. I mean, we could say what we wanted to say about the beer summit, all the photos we got from that with Vice President Joe Biden was in the middle of that, and then obviously the Prez. This time, though, the photos that were released, I thought, wow, good deal there. With Dakota Mayer, he was the guy who was on the patio. The Marine was on the patio outside the Oval Office. And here's the thing that you need to know, and this is why I'm saying this is the daily salute. Probably in Minneapolis, we're going to have to get them to give some applause for Mayer. Because the deal is Mayer is the guy who gets the Medal of Honor. He did that Thursday during a ceremony at the White House. And he's a 21-year-old. He was then, 2 years ago, a 21-year-old Marine corporal. And he risked his own life over and over again to save so many others, and he actually saved the lives of 36 U.S. and Afghan troops. So, bravo to this brave Marine. Absolutely. You betcha. We need some good news. Where's the applause? Oh, it's nice to have some applause. What a great hero. And once again, a reluctant hero. You know, these guys aren't beating their chests like they're Tarzan and high-fiving everybody. You talk to anybody who's served and been in these situations like Mayer, and he says, this is what we do. You never leave a guy behind. And, of course, he was never going to leave anyone behind. And this is why he gets the daily salute right out of the gate. Don't you love that? Hey, coming up here on America Tonight, because we're coming up on another football weekend and football rules in the United States of America, right? How did you do in your pools? How did you do with fantasy football? I think a lot of people struggled, actually. A lot of teams struggled. The Buddha, he's up next, Steve Boone. We're going to have that weekly conversation about what to expect this week in the NFL as we go through the matchups next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience.
Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Yeah, another one bites the dust. That could have been the theme song for my picks last week in the NFL. I got just 9 right. What's going to happen this time around? The Eagles and Atlanta. So Michael Vick returning to the scene of the crime, so to speak. And what about the Chiefs? Will they get buried again? How about the Raiders and the Bills? I only say that because they won both of their games, especially the Bills. That was a crazy, crazy game. A blowout. All right. Each and every week we talk to our man, the Buddha, Steve Budin. I was crying in my beer after last week. I'm hoping this is going to be a better week, and I'm counting on you to give me some good scoop.
I mean, another one bites the dust. I was singing that to my bookmaker. 6-0 to start the football season. I got to get you a free pass. But win or lose, how good did it feel to finally be back on the couch, eating too much, drinking too much, watching way too much TV?
Oh, I loved it. I was psyched. I couldn't imagine if we didn't have football, it would have been miserable.
Oh.
Wouldn't it?
I mean, besides the anticipation of, you know, everybody, you know, wondering about the lockout, I mean, I don't think you could have asked for a more exciting first week of football.
Yeah.
Really set the tone for the rest of the season.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hey, one of the games, because, you know, these 1 o'clock kickoffs in the East, one of the games and one of the things I really butchered was Cincinnati and the Browns. So the Browns now go up against the Colts, who don't have Peyton Manning. What, you know, we're going to start off with this one because I'm just curious. What do you do here?
Well, I mean, I think this is to be considered the I don't care game of the week. I mean, boy, you mentioned it, both of these teams stunk last week. The only difference is Indianapolis had a damn good excuse where the Browns are just pathetic. I mean, I think we'll see the Colts start to work their offense around Kerry Collins, who's been in an ice bath since the last game. They upped his geritol to about 5,000 milligrams. So I like the Indianapolis Colts here, plus the 2 points at home, the home team underdog.
All right, so I said the Raiders and the Bills. I have a lot of friends that are fans of the Raiders and fans of the Bills, so they want me to ask you about this game. What's your take on this game?
Well, both of these teams are coming off big wins. You know, Oakland beat Denver Monday night. They were booing Kyle Orton out there crazy, and the Bills demolished the Chiefs at Arrowhead. You know, we saw Ryan Fitzpatrick. He threw like crazy 4 touchdown passes. I think he had the best overall QBR rating of the day. That's that new rating with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing a Bills team here that means business. I mean, I don't know about you. Oakland's good, but do they have the skills to pay the Bills? I don't think so. I like Buffalo minus the 3.5 here.
Yeah, I agree with you. Oh, the Ravens. Oh, they just ripped
it. Were we wrong about that game? Thank God I didn't bet it. I just thank God, you know. But, yeah, if I had to, I would have been all over the Steelers. I mean, the Ravens manhandled the Steelers last week. No one saw it coming. I mean, we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
And everyone's looking at this line now, 6.5 at the Tennessee Titans, like it's Christmas in September. Only conventional wisdom tells us that a letdown is probably imminent here for the Ravens. So I just can't jump on the general public bandwagon. Something inside says don't do it. So I'm going to stay away from this, you know, from this 6.5-point spread here. I'm going to look to the over. Right now it's around 38. And, I think Flacco and Hasselbeck should have a pretty easy time throwing the ball. I think 38 points will come very easy. Let's go over the total here.
All right, over the total. All right, how about the I'm curious on your take on this one. I'm liking this game. I'm going to watch it anyway from that point of view. I don't know about the betting side, but the Bears and the Saints. When the Bears come marching into the Saints territory, what do you think happens?
Yeah, this is not a bad game to bet, actually. I mean, no doubt about it, the Bears, they looked good last week, which I said they would. Great day for Cutler. The cover two defense worked great. And I think that Cutler himself, we may be seeing a Cutler that's ready to go to the next level, but he's going to find out. You know, there's a big difference between playing the Falcons in Chicago and playing the Saints in the Dome. The Bears every week will put, you know, a man-sized effort on the field, but they're not going to be able to keep pace with the Saints here. I think that I said it last week on your show, there's no such thing as a good loss. But the Saints are going to, you know, came back after that effort against the Packers. And I think that effort really said a lot about where they're going this season. I'm going to lay the 7 points here with New Orleans.
All right. So that's a big one. Big bet.
Yep.
How about the Jets and the Jags and the Jets? Boy, what a crazy game against the Cowboys. Tony Romo, you and I talked about that.
J-E-T-S. Luck. I mean, what did we say about Tony Romo? Didn't we say it?
Yes, he was an elite quarterback. Yeah.
Why Tony Romo would continue to try and test Darrell Revis? I mean, I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
Off, but terrible.
I guess you're never too old to learn valuable lessons. Let's see if he can finally learn his lesson. I don't think so. I mean, I heard top analysts on TV excusing it out, saying, Tony's just a gunslinger. You know, you got to let him do his thing. Tony's got to be Tony. Well, where has Tony being Tony gotten him so far? The only way the Jets lose this next game is if they just underestimate the Jaguars. For the Jaguars, David Gerrard out, Luke McCown in, you know, and all he's going to be doing is, you know, handing the ball off to Mauricio Drew every single play. Only they're not going to be able to run against the Jets like they ran against the Titans. In fact, I don't think Jacksonville's going to get in the end zone at all. So I'm going to go under the 38 points here, even though I know the Jets will probably score 30.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's some good material there. I absolutely agree with you. And the analysis, handoff.
I mean, that's what they did. Jones drew right, Jones drew left. That's what they did. Jones drew
that's
up the middle.
Absolutely. Steelers, who we just talked about, who just is befuddling what happened there. Now it's the Seahawks, and it's home.
Well, this is a big line, 14.5. And that half a point says a lot to me as a former bookmaker. You know, when we used to see a line that was 14.5 and it opened 14, they immediately went to the half. You know, they're trying to do everything they can to get you to bet the Seahawks because they know what everybody knows is the Seahawks is just the worst road team against the spread. 2-8 the last 10. And they're facing a Pittsburgh team. Like, let's face it, their pride's at stake. They're going to be in front of their home crowd. They had last week's embarrassing loss to the Ravens. You know, and there's no way to bet this game other than laying the big wood with the Steelers. I mean, a lot of folks are going to be trapped into trying to hook this game into a teaser to buy down that 14.5 points. But I say forget that sucker stuff. Lay the big wood. Step up to the plate and lay the big wood.
Yeah. There you go. Cardinals and the Redskins. What do you think here? I didn't see any of the Redskins last week. So what do you think is going to happen when they're in front of the home crowd against the Cardinals? And, of course, they picked up the first one with the home folks.
Well, the turnaround in Washington, in my opinion, has definitely begun. Donovan McNabb out, you know, and that's been great. And Rex Grossman is in, and he may not be an elite quarterback, but all of a sudden things are starting to click for Shanahan's offense. You know, sometimes personalities, certain personality types, when they don't get along for whatever reason, it messes up your whole system. And I think that's what happened last year in Washington. They seem improved on offense. They seem improved on defense. I just think they got too much for Arizona to handle. I like Cobb as a quarterback, but I'm going to lay the four here with the Redskins.
Ooh, okay. Cowboys and the 49ers.
Cowboy, what can I say about the Cowboys anymore than I've already said? I mean, they suffered a heartbreaking loss to the Jets. Tony Romo sucks. He made terrible decisions down the stretch after having one of the greatest games I've ever seen him have through three quarters. You know, he just really just blew it in the fourth quarter. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the Cowboys emerge from this game. Because in my opinion, their entire season is on the line here. They must rally. They must pull it together. They must come back and impressively beat the 49ers. And for that reason and that reason only, I'll bite the bullet here and lay the three with the Cowboys.
All right, we're almost out of time, but I got to quickly ask you about this one, the Eagles and the Falcons.
Right, so Michael Vick returns to Atlanta, you know, since he left there in shame, obviously. And you got to feel like he's pumped up and he wants to have a big game, you know, against the Falcons. Remember, it was Philly that you know, jumped out to a 21-0 lead when they played last year.
Right.
Only was Kevin Cobb at quarterback. The only problem for the Falcons is Vick is better than Cobb. So minus 2.5 points. A lot of favorites were laying here, but we're going to go minus 2.5 points with the Eagles. I think they're for real.
Woo-hoo. All right, that was the Sunday night game. Quickly, Giants or Rams, who do you like?
I like neither team, but I'm going to go with the Rams because, remember, in the past, this is a Giants team that after a loss would always come home and do better and would always go out in the next game and do better, and they would come back and Eli Manning would have a big game. But this is not the same Giant team of the past. This is a very troubled team. This is a coach who's on his way out in his last year. He's dead man walking up and down the sidelines. I look for the Giants to have a horrible year, and I think the Rams are a safe play in this game. Take
Woo.
The points, dogs are barking. Woo, woo.
I love it. Buddha Man, thanks so much. Steve Budin, TickNation.com. Folks, check it out. Thanks. Wow, I wonder if we're going to have the same kind of week we had last time. Woo, it was rough on me. Don't forget, we have Nail the Score coming up in our third hour. You don't have to know anything about football. You're just taking the game that we picked through our computer, just throwing out a numerical guess. Hang with us.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
As we get closer to the weekend, green jobs take a pounding because of Celerinda, which is not alone, apparently, in the whole bankruptcy game. And I see the green thing is risky, and we talked about it a lot on the previous show. There are things that are good that could work, that would be effective, that people could do easily. It's the big-ticket items that are getting the funds, and then the companies are collapsing. So who knows what else is behind door number A, B, and C. So it was about Solyndra, the black eye there, and trying to explain the hurry and rush to get them the stimulus money, and then, boom, they collapse a couple months later. Then also the jobs plan that was revealed and the tug of war over that. I don't see, as a whole, no way does this jobs plan get shoved through. It's not going to happen. See, here's the thing, America, we know this. The game of just loading up a whole bunch of things in whatever plan, bill, etc., it's not happening anymore anyway. Because we were asleep at the wheel at one point. But if you were one of those that wasn't paying attention, boy, you woke up like a bear who was hibernating too long and somehow missed the start of the season when they're supposed to be hunting and out in the woods. Well, yeah, you woke up. You woke up with health care when other things were being stuck in health care, if you remember, just a couple years back. And now, of course, seeing the aftermath and things that have happened where people are paying more money, I guarantee right now, many of you listening to my voice were bit by that bug. where you're on a fixed income, you're on Medicare, you have supplemental insurance, and then your bill went up. So you had to shop around, you had to figure out, what am I going to do? But wait a second, we're supposed to be getting affordable health care. Well, how am I getting affordable health care if I'm paying more and I'm on a fixed income? And it wasn't just people on fixed incomes either, by the way. It was younger people. Lots of people got slammed by what was supposedly being implemented in this whole affordable health care thing. And part of that was everything that was stuffed into the middle of it. You know, it was like a stromboli, if you've ever had one of those. You know, it's like the upside-down pizza, the inside-out pizza. So I like to see my pizza, and you know what's on it, right? But the stromboli, it's everything's put in that, and it's fried up, and then you're eating through the dough and figuring out what you're getting in it, right? And we don't want to eat through the dough anymore. We want to flat-out see it. We want to see it and be able to touch it, and that's it. We want to know what's in something. And so I think with the job tussle, it makes sense. Because too many people were burned by being blindsided and not realizing. And I'm saying that people that are having to vote on this. So the push to try to make the jobs plan go through is not going to work. It's a question of what ultimately it looks like when it's done. And we have more new jobless claims that are spiking, right? So you have this deficit problem that is hanging over our heads, that's swinging back and forth. So what a crazy weekend it was, and a lot of it had to do with money again. It's always about following the money. It really, really is, isn't it? Besides talking about the economy, I always say this, what's your elevator conversation for this week? Well, I bet you a lot of people were talking about the weather. Because depending on where you were living, if you're living in the middle part of the country, you had warm temperatures and then suddenly a dramatic drop and it was chilly. And then boom, then it's warmer again. It's kind of bouncing all around. If you're living in the Southwest and you're listening to me, well, rain is at a premium. People are praying for rain, doing rain dances for rain, seeing their houses, foundations crack. There's even a story I saw today where somebody's puppy had to be rescued. Why? Because in the backyard, it looked like there was an earthquake. There was this crack that was deep and pretty long. And the puppy, it was a puppy, not a kitten, it was a puppy, fell down into the crack. And they had to call 911, and it took them 20 minutes. But they got the puppy out of the crack that was in the yard because there's no rain. Finally, in the Southwest, some parts are seeing some rain and definitely cooler temperatures. You know, when you go from 2 days ago to, 108 down to 80, that's a pretty big swing, isn't it? It's called layers. You just don't know what you're going to... If somebody was visiting the Southwest and they, of course, had the best clothes that they could possibly wear, something that was cool and comfortable, then they might be just a little bit chilly. And it's been freakish. So speaking of the freakish stuff, you know, hurricane season, we're still in the middle of hurricane season. Somebody wrote me an email and said, it was Joe listening to us in Connecticut, who said, Kate, are we through hurricane season? I haven't heard you mention anything about the hurricanes. No, we're not. In fact, Maria is the third hurricane of the Atlantic season, but here's the good news. There's too much other stuff in the atmosphere blocking Maria. So Newfoundland is probably going to get the brunt of Maria, but the United States won't get any of it. And boy, is that good relief, because once again, here we come back to the trail of money. The Senate approved $6.9 billion in disaster funds. You think of the year that we have had between tornadoes and floods, brutal floods, and unimaginable things, wildfires. I mean, it might be one of our worst disaster years ever. So the Senate funds FEMA through 2012, and Republicans were really fighting this. They were kicking and screaming on this one because they were insisting that the money be paid for with spending cuts elsewhere in the budget. And can you blame them? Could we not find someplace else to cut? So the vote, worth mentioning here, 62-37, 10 Republicans supported the final bill, getting it through, right? And of those, Marco Rubio, David Vitter, and Pat Toomey. But now the Senate is definitely going to smash right into the will of the House, because they're going to approve $3.7 billion in funding next week, $1 billion to cover this fiscal year, and then another $2.7 billion for 2012. And that money is partially offset, I guess, by cuts to the Department of Energy's loan program. We saw how well that worked with Solyndra. Yeah, that green company that was doing the solar panels that they had to push through, that the solar panels weren't really affordable because the Chinese beat us to the punch and had plants that were pumping them out. So there's some money we could take. So that funding is attached to a must-pass stopgap bill. Do you love this? That would keep the government running through the year's end. Oh, imagine that. It is just so crazy and baffles my mind. Not to come back to the budget, that we cannot have a balanced budget in this country. How do you do that? How do you run any kind of company, let alone a country? How do you run a country that is constantly in the red? How's this going to look a decade from now? This is what we're going to do. Some of the comments that all of you have had over the past year, I'm going to go through and archive a bunch of them, and we're going to put it in a time capsule. And we're going to bury it somewhere with instructions for somebody else behind me to dig it up. And I want to know what they're talking about compared to what we were talking about now. What's going to happen in 10 years? What happens? What's going to happen to all of these different organizations that we're talking about? All the regulation that we're talking about? Where's it all headed? Where's it all headed in the end? Right? So we've got $14.7 trillion debt. It's actually even a little higher than that, if you've been paying attention, right? So you have Tom Coburn from Oklahoma. Victoria mentioned him. He has a little bit of a nickname. And he was pushing to fully pay for the Senate bill. I mean, which is, for him, is unbelievable because he doesn't normally do that. But he's saying we need to cut spending, but we don't want to find $7 billion to pay for it. We just want to borrow it. In the past, he hasn't voted that way. But he's saying now, hey, we're in a new world, and the new world is we got to find a way to put the money in this. I'm all for giving that money to FEMA. But if I had a vote in where we could cut, because I agree, where can we cut the money from that makes sense? How about some of that foreign aid? How about if we cut some of the money, just chopped it right out there? That would be an easy number to come up with. Would anybody be against that? Couldn't we find somewhere we could whittle that away? As I've said a few times before, if you go through and you look where we're heavily based, right there, you could save some money. I mean, I know we might have to have some people in Germany, and I know it's a stopping off point in Frankfurt and whatnot. But can't we whittle down the number of people that we have there? Wouldn't that save some money? There's got to be places where we could slice and then slide it over to the disasters. What would you do? We're checking the mail next here on ATN.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS. Instead, use EscapeHarassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to EscapeHarassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's EscapeHarassment.com. Remember, Escape Harassment works.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
My little mini poll question is, how much regulation would you like to see coming out of Washington? From 0 to 100%, what is the right margin? I say it can't be over 50. It's got to be under 50%. Because I think we would be that much more efficient in this country. Relying on D.C. with the red tape, the problems, the overload, the overtaxation, and all the things that have happened in many of the departments, give it back to the states. I don't think everything. We need a central form of government, right? But I was thinking about this today when I was riding my bike. I was riding my bike and it's bugging me. I was thinking, oh, can we talk about numbers so much? From zero to 100%, where does that number lie for you? For me, I'm saying it's probably in the neighborhood of probably 45, 46% is what I would say. And I think the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, is right when he says that America needs to liberate the economy from the shackles of Washington. I mean, that's good political ease, I know, but we need some changes in the tax code. less government regulation would promote job growth. I mean, that's it. Too many people have their hands tied. I've said it. The simple number that I can give you, and the one that I think was a real eye-opener for me, was the corporate tax. And if you're rolling your eyes in the back of your head saying, oh, those rich SOBs, why are you bringing them into this? Why should they get any breaks? No, I'm talking about the overall corporation. So the bottom line is, in a business where they're not making money and they're losing money, then that's when people get let go. That's what happens. So it doesn't matter what's going on with the CEO or what's going on with the vice president of the company or any of that kind of stuff. The simple truth is 35% for a company like a Cisco or Dell, or just pick whatever technology company, because I'm thinking technology, that's so where we're headed and where we already are. 35% versus 25%, wouldn't it be better to live with 25% and pull in that many more jobs back to the United States, for example? I think that's a key to me in jumpstarting the economy. You got to pull those barriers out of the way, and that's probably the biggest one. And then what about overhauling the untouchables, right? Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, we've talked about that before, too. I mean, that, you know, so what, with tax increases off the table, right? If they were off the table, the problem is the destroying of the jobs that happens. So you have to decide. You're either in this to really get the jobs or not. And the bottom line is that the companies are hiring, unless you're starting your own business, they're not going to hire more people when they're not making their margins, when they're not making the money that they have to hit. Because remember, if it's a publicly traded company and you can open a paper, if you're saying, I don't know which ones are, it's so easy. Open a paper or just look online and you look at the companies. Pick anyone. The big ones, obviously, Coca-Cola, Disney, any of them, Fox, whoever. And you'll see. And the bottom line is, if the shareholders are not happy or not getting theirs, forget about the whole hiring thing, because that's not going to happen. There's freezes, there's layoffs, all that kind of stuff. All right, I meant to go to the mail, so let's head to the mailbag.
The mail! The mail is here!
Woo!
All right, this one is from Vinny, who says, yo, Kate, did you check out that story about Jersey Shore? The one about the fact that the taxpayers are having to eat it for $420,000? To cover production costs? Is that ridiculous for a bunch of morons named Snooki in the situation? You know what? It's funny you say that, because somebody sent me a link to one of the papers, the Courier Post, I think it was, and that story was there. What the deal is, for people who are shaking their head, what are you talking about? You've heard of Jersey Shore, right, on MTV? The situation, Snooki are two of the people that are on the show that are making crazy amounts of money to slap each other around, to say stupid, crazy, idiotic things. But it doesn't matter. There's no accounting for good taste, and the show's making money, and it's a reality show, so that's it. Bottom line is, bada bing, they're in for as long as MTV wants them. But he's right about that. Why should we pay the costs? In New Jersey, the State Economic Development Authority approved that amount that he mentioned, just shy of $500,000, for the production costs in the first season. 2009 was the first season. So for fake and baked tans, you got to be kidding me. Kids on the beach and on the boardwalk, they're paying that money. Here's the thing. The governor, Chris Christie, suspended the film tax credit program in 2010 to close a budget deficit that they were having in Jersey. But this had to be approved. It was a couple of years ago. Oh, I'd be pretty chapped if I was living in the Garden State, just thinking of those kids on the Jersey Shore show. You know, and I've never watched it, but how can you not know who they are? You see them everywhere, because they are everywhere. They're like in Italy now, or they were filming in Italy or something and causing all kinds of problems. They wanted to give them the boot in Italy, if you know what I mean. Okay, let's move to yet another one. This comes to us from Gentle Ed. Hello, America. Tonight, I've been meaning to email you for quite some time, but this one really got under my skin. And you know, it's not even about politics. You talk about football and you talk about the game that you have, Kate, and I just wanted you to know that it's ridiculous what is happening at stadiums or what might happen at stadiums. I happen to see this on my local news, and apparently the NFL wants to pat down fans from the ankles all the way up because they're worried about fan safety is what they're saying. Talk about enhanced pat-downs, and we were complaining about the TSA. I've heard you talk about it on the show. How would you feel about going to an NFL game and taking your mother and your nephew, and they have to get patted down? Yeah, you know, it's here's what I think, first of all. How long is it going to take to get into the stadiums? Think of how big the stadiums are. So if they do these procedures, and that's 32 teams, then you talk about how many people can sit in the seats, you know, how big some of the stadiums are, and how much time would that take? They say what they're looking for is weapons, banned things, even booze, but it affects over 16 million people who go to the games. I wonder if that'll have more people wanting to stay at home or just go and tailgate and not go to the games. I mean, if you're a fan and you want to see the games and you have your tickets, I guess you're just gonna deal with it. But the problem is, I think, that because of these big facilities and how big they are, they're worried that, first of all, they're worried about nut jobs doing things to people like that idiot, the South Carolina guy, who used a taser on a fan at the Jets-Dallas Cowboys game. That just opened it all up again. So, you know, the crazy nutty things that people do when they're drunk. I've told this story. I had a friend that went to an Eagles game, and the guy behind her was so ripped on, I don't know what, cheap booze, he threw up all over her. Can you imagine? Yeah. So, ever see a woman take a wheelhouse punch? I think that's what happened there, maybe. So, I understand that from that point of view, but boy, I just cannot imagine trying to move all those people there, get them in, get them through. And I think also they're worried about possible targets because there have been a lot of threats lately, and the threats are to large areas with a lot of people in them because of the damage that could be done. So what's going to happen? They're going to start tailgating at 6 in the morning. They're going to eat breakfast burritos and start downing the beers as fast as they can, so that they can then, you know, get into the stadium and feel like they've had their fair share of whatever else it was that they were soaking up in the parking lots. So I don't know. Interesting scenario. Enhanced pat-downs. I'm not really for them in any form, I got to say. Have any thoughts on the show, send them to me, just like all those other people did. AmericaTonight.net.